With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We're doing it again, man. We're getting together with the Washington State Council of Firefighters because we want to put coats on kids that need them right here in Washington. It's going to happen. All you got to do is just give us $20, man. That's it. $20 puts a brand new coat on a kid that needs one. Maybe you'd like to join the hashtag 69 crew.
69 crew is growing stronger and stronger as we go along, BJ. It's pretty damn awesome to see people. As silly as it is, it means that people are donating more than just 20. Although 20 is great. Even less than 20 is fine. But then there's a select few of fun-loving people like myself that have decided to put out $69 to raise money for the cause. And boy, oh boy, are they stepping up. I got to give some love to, like Kevin. You just donated $69 2 hours ago. Hashtag 69 was his comment.
Nice.
Another person says, I heard BJ talking about this while streaming the show from Florida last week. Our cold blast here this morning prompted me to donate. I wish it could be more. Still may donate a good amount of money just to help out. Janine, over $100 donated for this, and that's pretty damn awesome. Aaron, over $200, saying no little kid should go cold or hungry. It's awesome to see all the Rockaholics stepping up to raise some money. And as far as how much we've raised so far, we're over $10,000, but our goal is $35,000. So let's make it happen, Rockaholics.
And we can do this in mass, guys. You don't have to give a lot. We just all give something. That's the idea of the Rockaholics throwing whatever they can throw out there.
And today's Giving Tuesday. What better day to do it?
Good call. So on Giving Tuesday, if you can, whether you want to join the 69 Club, whether it's $20 just that will pay for one coat or whatever you can give. Also, if you can spread this on your social networks, if that's the best you can do, that's super helpful as well.
Got a really nice text message this morning, too. Coats for Kids is awesome and legit. I'm a teacher who gets to see the coats firefighters bring to our school for the kids who don't have one, and the kids truly appreciate them. When complimented on his student on his jacket, the student replied, I've never had such a warm coat. I love not being cold. I hope people are continuing to donate.
How about that?
Jesus.
Think about that.
Hit me in the feels, man.
Yeah, that one line. I love not being cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, these kids, if they ever go to Danny's house, they're going to need a coat, right? Because Danny only keeps it at 55 at his place because he doesn't turn the heat on. So we got to get these coats for kids wherever they may go, including Danny's house. Go to KISW.com. That is where you get all the info, how you can donate, how you can spread it on social, KISW.com.
Let's play B-Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
So everybody scream his name. B-Migs, don't be a loser. Whoa. B-Migs, you're a loser.
It is time to B-Migs, and it's time to turn down for tacos.
Charge out for what?
That's right, buddy.
Yeah, get those tacos.
Get them done, buddy.
Make some holiday tacos with your leftovers.
All right.
So I'm like a cranberry in there. Put it in there.
You know what you're doing.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Let's get to our contestant today. We've got Arden in Rochester. Arden, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. What's she playing for today, Steve?
Oh, I like Arden already.
Oh, because of the giggle?
Yeah, right. She's got the giggle. She wins.
She's got the cute giggle?
Yeah, she's got the giggle. She wins.
Oh, okay. Well, she still has to beat me to win.
Yeah.
And if she beats me, she gets the tickets to see Trevor Noah, where she can have that cute giggle happening all night long at the Tacoma Dome on December 13th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. If you want tickets, they're available now at Ticketmaster.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here.
Get out of here, buddy.
For those playing at home, Arden will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Arden, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Located on the outside of the body, where would you find a person's hallux?
Pass.
Adam Driver plays which character in the Star Wars universe?
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No.
Pass.
In his 90s, how old was Stan Lee when he passed away?
92, 93, 94.
No. St. Paul and St. Cloud are cities in what U.S. state?
Michigan.
No.
Minnesota.
Yes. In the Disney film Pinocchio, what is the name of the giant whale?
Pass.
Harry Styles and Zayn Malik are both were both in which boy band?
NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
No.
Pass.
Da Vinci's mural, The Last Supper, is located in which Italian city?
Sicily?
No.
Paris?
No.
Rome?
No. In India, what is the most popular color choice for a bridal dress?
Green, red.
No, and you said the correct answer, but too late. So, Arden, you get a single point.
Oh, correct. Arden. But I said she already wins because of the giggle, no?
That's not how this works. We must maintain the integrity of the game.
I tried, Arden.
But we don't know. But, like, I don't know, Steve could do terribly. Really?
You think?
He could, yeah.
These were some tough questions, though.
You think they are very
well,
tough?
Especially that last one. I mean... I guess actually it's easy if you just roll with it, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, I wasn't going
to
guess that last one.
We'll have to see if this is going to be one of those pitcher's duels that we talk about on B-Mix. Steve, are you ready?
Yes.
Located on the outside of the body, where would you find a person's hallux?
On their ding-a-ling?
No.
On their ding-a-ling, ladies.
Tongue? No.
Ear?
No. Yeah. Adam Driver plays which character in the Star Wars universe?
He plays... Khan.
No.
Khan! I'm going to say Kylo Ren.
Yes.
Nice.
In his 90s, how old was Stan Lee when he passed away?
96.
No.
99.
No.
What was the question again?
In his 90s, how old was Stan Lee when he passed away?
93.
No. Oh. St. Paul and St. Cloud are cities in what U.S. state?
They're Twin Cities. So that would be Minnesota.
Yes. In Disney's film Pinocchio, what is the name of the giant whale?
I got it right. I don't care.
Yeah, you still got it right, but
what
you're
was
wrong.
The question?
In the Disney film Pinocchio, what is the name of the giant whale?
Geppetto?
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Whaley?
No, Whaley.
Fudgy the whale.
Harry Styles and Zayn Malik were both in which
One
boy
Direction.
Band? Yes.
Yeah.
Da Vinci's mural, The Last Supper, is located in which Italian city?
Ooh, Venice?
No.
Italy?
No.
Italy.
Rome? Yeah. No. Wow, well, it was a pitcher's duel. Steve, you got 3 correct, but you win. Because Arden got one correct.
It was a tough one. Sorry, Arden.
It's all right.
All right, you take care. You play again, Arden. You're always welcome on this fine show.
Try back, maybe study a little bit.
Well, these questions were, I mean, as Steve proved, they weren't the easy questions.
Yes, but a win's a win.
He wins. Gotta give it to him. Don't want to give it to him. But I gotta give it to him.
I was surprised. She sounded young, and she didn't get the One Direction question right.
She should be proud of herself for that. If she doesn't know that boy band, good for her.
Steve very reluctantly answered that one.
Here's my problem with One Direction.
Oh, so you actually have a...
Here's a hot take.
Is it one problem with One Direction, or more problems with One Direction?
No, like, we all want to goof on them. I don't know any of One Direction songs. I'm not a One Direction fan. But then, so, follow me on this one.
Uh-oh, okay, I'm following
you. Here we go. So, like, the Beatles at one point were, like, when you look back on it, when they first started, they were a boy band.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, granted, they played their instruments, but they were writing, like, really, like, songs for girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Like, they were a boy band.
Oh, yeah.
And then the hallucinogenics were discovered.
Okay.
And then they became, like, this out-of-this-world, crazy, like, trippy stuff going on. John Lennon will be forever looked at as, like, one of the best songwriters of all time. I'm fearful because, what's his face? Did an interview with Rolling Stone, and apparently, like, went off onto some weird meditative world and journey and did some hallucinogenics.
Oh.
And apparently, I haven't heard any of his music recently or whatever, but what if he goes down this artistic road I'm not saying on the same level as John Lennon. That's crazy talk, but is it? You never know. And then we look back, like, 20, 30 years from now, people are going to look at Harry Styles as one of the true great songwriters, like we do with John Lennon, and forget the fact that at some point... you know, the Beatles, probably some guys out there back in the day were like, ugh, Beatles.
But, interesting.
But, you know, boy band.
The only closest association I can make is the success of Justin Timberlake. Granted, not a rock guy, but definitely talented.
But has almost become universally respected, even by rock people. Even if you don't like his stuff, you're like, dude's got talent.
So, I mean, you have a point. JT is well respected. I don't know if anyone's ready to put him on John Lennon status yet.
No.
But still, there's if you have talent.
What if Harry Styles becomes that guy?
He could be that guy.
I know you don't really necessarily like Saturday Night Live, Steve, but Harry Styles was on it recently.
And?
I watched it, and he was all right. Like, it wasn't boy bandy at all.
Right.
So, I mean, he can put out, you know, music.
Does he have
that isn't like that.
So he has hits beyond with just him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But like, I know he had that recent Rolling Stone interview where like he went off the deep end. Not, you know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know how old that story is. I think it was like less than a year ago that this all went down.
Wow.
Damn. So I'm just curious to see what happens with this dude. If like we will look back and be like, this guy is a credible artist. And it's,
well, in the 2019, Steve called it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you take a look at anybody's origin story, you know, where did they come from first? Like some of the great performers that we know. You're right, Steve.
They all come from somewhere.
The Beatles had as many screaming girls going crazy, that same scene as One Direction. You're right. It's the same exact scene. You're absolutely right.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
And to think that they also built up the credibility with their later music to become the band the Beatles are. But I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You, Yeah. I mean, those are just pop songs.
Absolutely.
That's really what they are.
But more importantly, someone wants to know, what the hell is a hallux and where is it?
Yeah, where is the hallux?
The hallux is the big toe. So it's located on the foot.
That's the big toe?
Yeah.
So you stub your hallux?
I've never heard that before.
I'm going to start saying
Must
that
be
now.
Latin, right? I got
Sure. I don't know.
What the hell else would it be?
I have no idea. I looked it up on a trivia site.
Okay.
We figured out it was 19. He was 95. Stanley was 95 when he passed away.
Oh, dang.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was actually 95. I thought it was younger than that.
Nope. And then in Disney's Pinocchio, what's the name of the giant whale?
Monstro!
Jeez,
I would not have guessed that.
That's a great name.
It's Monstro. It's Monster in Italian.
Oh, Monstro.
Hey, I'm a Monstro.
Well, Pinocchio's Italian too, right? The whole thing.
Exactly.
With the Monstro. Oh, I had no idea.
I love how you do the little finger thing too when you're doing an impression.
He's genuine, isn't he? You feel like you're back in Italy.
Like it when you do the finger thing with the Mozzadella and the Monstro.
Speaking of Italy, where is Da Vinci's The Last Supper located?
Well, we said like Venice and we said Rome and Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's none of those. It's Milan.
Oh, I forget Milan. Milan's a joint. You're right.
It's a joint.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Steve. You won with three correct.
Call number three. Guess what you're getting? You're checking out Trevor Noah at the Tacoma Dome. Caller number three, 206-421-ROCK. Congratulations to caller number three. Well, if you remember, back in September, everybody was trying to figure out what the Oreo mystery flavor was. I mean, somebody was going to win a prize, $50,000 if they guessed it. Not right. But somebody was, because I remember somebody did guess this flavor.
Yeah, because somebody texted us this morning and said, did you hear about this? And one of you guys, I think it was me.
So you did say it.
I don't know if it was, but I'm pretty sure it was me, because I have a churro obsession.
And I didn't say churros for sure, so if it was anybody on the show, it wasn't me.
Well, I know for a fact I've talked about churros at least a couple times this year. I just don't remember if it was with this.
And somebody did, so whether or not we read something or you said it, either way,
I said it.
We mentioned it on the show.
I totally called it, guys.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
I think I even guessed it on the. We went online.
Oh, $50,000.
Oh, I'm sure a bunch of people guessed it as well, because otherwise I'd be sitting on $50,000, or am I?
Do we like that flavor? I can't remember. Did we like the cookie?
I did.
Yeah, I think I have a memory that it was okay, churro flavored.
I remember liking it, but not enough to ever get it again, because I'm not really a big Oreo cookie guy.
Oh, I love Oreos.
Well, we're very, very aware of that.
Yeah,
Bridget.
I do. Vicky, how are you with Oreos?
They're fine.
Oh, see, I'm wondering if churro is going to be a popular enough flavor with. See, even still, with all the flavors Oreo has, I still like the regular
flavor.
People
were saying it was Vicky that guessed it, but Vicky says it wasn't.
No, because like I signed up for all the little clues, so I kept getting them in my email.
Elephant ears.
And I kept saying elephant ear, because it seemed perfect with all the clues, and it was not. So
How about you? The ironic fact is really one of the only Mexican people on the show, and you did not guess churro.
It didn't taste like that. Like, when I think of a churro, I think of, like, the Costco churro.
So is she supposed to just guess anything that has any kind of, like, Hispanic ties and anything that she does now?
Well, I mean, if anybody would know the flavor of a churro, I would imagine that Vicky would, because, I mean, she's probably had more churros than anybody on the show.
No.
Outside of you, maybe.
I would say, I definitely have. Yeah. I'm definitely.
Vicky, do you like churros that much?
Oh, yeah. I get one at Costco every time I go.
Yeah, see, I think Vicky beat you.
No, I don't know, man. I get them a lot. I love churros.
Okay. Danny, how about you?
She might have, like, maybe a little bit of a lead on me.
A little bit.
Do you like churros, Danny?
Yeah, I like churros. Yeah, I don't like Oreos that much.
Okay. See, Danny didn't guess churro, and he's the only other guy that would have been qualified to guess, but I don't think you're a churro guy, are you?
Yeah, I can't remember what I guessed, but I know it wasn't churro.
I feel like if you're going to have a churro Oreo, it'd need to be a white cookie, though.
Oh, why is it always white with you? Racist?
It's a little vanilla cookies.
No, you're right. It probably wouldn't be bad.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be delicious, but then it's not even an Oreo at that point.
Well, right. They have white Oreos.
I know, but does anyone buy them?
Oh, man. I want to right now, because they have the chocolate filling. It's good.
So he says, Steve definitely said churro. Another person says, I remember Rev calling it a churro.
Well, everybody really pays attention to this show. So far, everybody thinks it's Vicky, Steve, or Rev.
Yep.
Danny, you and I didn't get called, so we know that we didn't say it.
Someone says, go to Tacoma Boy, Steve. Have you tried the churro snack? It's awesome.
Oh, all right.
I need to now.
Now you need to go. Okay.
Well, so what happens? Like, who did they announce?
Somebody gets $50,000, but they didn't tell us who.
Yeah.
How do you do that? If, like, all those people guess churro, how do you... Do you have to give them all $50,000,
no,
or only one
just,
person?
I'm sure the rules stated, like, one person at random that guessed it right wins.
God, I'd be so bummed if I got it right and I didn't win. I guess you're in a... You're probably
rubbing
in a lottery.
It in, BJ.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. Well, of course, you... I don't think... And you actually did think you put it in, churro, on the...
I'm pretty sure I did.
Well, maybe you got the $50,000. Of course, I think they probably would have let you know by now,
I should check my junk file.
Yeah, really, should check your junk mail. Dear Steve, you were the guy that guessed churro. You get $50,000.
Oh, look at that. Yep. Congratulations,
Steve. Look at you, buddy.
No, I'm kidding.
I saw one of our radio buddies went to Vegas and won $1 million.
What?
Yeah, at a slot machine.
Do we know him?
I barely know him. I forget his. I can't even think of his name, so I don't think I know him that well. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whoa, this is, I mean, unless he was joking with me, but it was some radio dude. I saw a post on Facebook. He's standing in front of a regular slot machine in Vegas, you know, and he got $1 million payout over the holidays.
Dude, that's a game changer.
Yeah, if you find out who it is, Danny, I forget who it is.
See, that's the worst place in the world to win all that money, though. Because I would just be caught up in the spirit of Vegas.
Oh,
say,
you keep going?
No, I would definitely. No, I wouldn't, like, gamble it. But I would sure as hell want to spend a lot of it.
See, you're the
I'd
great.
I'd be like, yo, let's set aside $100,000 and let's go nuts.
And you would spend the rest of it.
No, I mean, set aside $100,000as the spending money.
Okay.
Keep the rest of it. I'll add the taxes. All right, 50. I'll go $50,000. Let's just see let's see if we can spend it all.
I think that's fun. If you're going to take the majority of your winnings and then take that $50,000 and just have a blast, I think that seems reasonable.
Just to live that life for two nights. Like, get a penthouse suite.
I want to be around you when that happens, because you might even be nice to me.
Hell yeah. I'll treat you for a buffet or two.
That ain't bad. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Vegas has got good buffets.
Damn straight.
Yeah, all right. All right, you heard him, Danny.
All right.
It's time for Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You got the
him.
Show. Danny, he's about to win $50,000.
Oh,
okay. He's just got to search his junk folder. So he's taking us to a buffet, Danny.
I'm searching churros in my folder. I'm not finding it.
Dang it. 206-421-ROCK, Texas at 77999. Listeners on the Loose, you pick the topic. You guide the show. We got your calls and texts at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. Hey, stop freaking!
Call Beacon.
Stop freaking. Call Beacon.
So this is where you're in charge, man. You pick the topic, you guide the show. But do remember, when you call in, Steve has a rule.
We have to show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, we have to gong you and say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Ryan in Puyallup, you are on the Rock.
DJ Shay,
who cares? What's up, buddy? Hey, what you got?
I haven't heard anybody talk about it or seen it on Facebook or anything, but I saw a graphic last night on the postgame show that there's only four penalties in the whole game, and Seattle only committed one of them.
And that one penalty really was a veteran play by the wide receiver for the Vikings, because he slowed down and Trey Flowers just ran into him because he slowed down. So really not even a penalty.
That was a pretty amazing thing, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about it.
It was a fun game to watch because of that. Like, I mean, it was weird. There were times where I'm watching someone stop a play, like a pass, and I'm instantly just looking for that yellow flag to go on the ground, because it seems like that's always the case with pass interference and things like that.
Well, especially when
it was so rare.
When Flowers had the ball, they said arguably when he stole the ball from the dude, that arguably that could have been PI, but, you know.
It's nice not having to have all these calls nonstop.
And, Ryan, you make a really good point, and there's a question that I would like to ask and ask Mitch about. I'm wondering if there's a way you can, and Ryan, maybe you know this more than me, but, you know, is there a way you take a look at the referee crew and you are aware of how they call a game, and then can you strategize around that? Do you know before the game happens who the crew's going to be, who the head judge is going to be, who the head ref's going to be, all that? And is that something you take into account, or do you always just play your same game, which is you're going to just try to get away with what you can? I wonder about that, because it was so weird that we only had one penalty.
I see what you mean. Like, they're like, hey, this officiating crew, they're a little more lenient than the other crew, so maybe, you know, step it up, be a little dirtier.
That's exactly. The way it seems to me is like they were a little bit more lax than most games.
And I will tell you that if that's the case, I mean, I think guys like Pete Carroll, guys like Bill Belichick, they probably know this. Look, I know baseball better than football, and I know that batters will indeed change their strategy depending on who the umpire behind the plate is, because they all have different strike zones.
Smart.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's the same thing. We'll have to ask Mitch that, because that's an X factor you don't think about, but it is weird. We only had one penalty last night. I can't remember the last time I could say that about a Seahawks game.
It felt like the game went quicker. Like, it ended early. Yeah. And even, I think even one of the announcers even mentioned that, too. It was just like, wow, this felt like this game just flew by, and it did, compared to, like, well, granted, that other late-night game was a couple of overtimes. Or one overtime, and just a lot of, like, you know, slow stoppage of the game. But, yeah, I wonder.
It is frustrating, because I know as a player, if you go, okay, everything I did this week was fine, and then, you know, Sunday, let's say they go to L.A., they play the Rams, and they do the same damn thing, yeah, but they get called all over the place. That's got to be frustrating as a player, not knowing, like, well, what can or I can't do, depending on who's going to call the games?
Somebody wanted to know, hey, Rev, I know you're a big cat guy. Did you hear about Lil Bub?
Who's Lil Bub?
I looked at it this morning. It kind of bummed me out. I know nothing about Lil Bub. He's apparently like an internet cat, and he passed away.
Oh, Vicky just found
he's
out.
He's the cutest little cat ever.
Where is Lil Bub? I don't know who he is.
He's got like a weird face. Like,
apparently like has like a dwarfism kind of a thing, feline dwarfism. And so he's like was expected to only live like 6 months, and apparently lived till he was eight, or she. I can't remember. And, of course, you know, Instagram famous, internet famous. I had a couple million followers on Instagram.
Wow.
I saw the post that the Lil Bub's owner, the guy, posted. And it's heartbreaking, man. Like, just, you know, how much love he has for his cat, and also just awareness that they've helped raise money for different, you know, animal rescues or animal awareness, like, causes and charities. And this cat did a lot for that. As crazy as that sounds, but, you know, it brought a lot of attention and raised a lot of money for a great reason. And it's kind of a bummer, and especially when you see these. Anytime someone loses their pet, man, sure. I always feel for them.
Did he make any money off of Lil Bub the way what was the other cat?
Grumpy Cat.
Did he make any kind of Grumpy Cat money?
Well, I mean, there was merchandise. There was lots of Lil Bub merch. 2.4 million followers on Instagram.
Oh, good for Lil Bub.
Well, no, Lil Bub died.
Yeah, Lil Bub's
Well,
dead,
I mean,
man.
Good for Lil Bub having followers. I mean, yeah, I know
she doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't know about who's
following. Now all of a sudden the cat doesn't know anything. I mean, if your world, everybody knows everything. The animals know everything. Well, either way, I mean, a little bub then. She lived longer than she was supposed to. That's 8 years. That's cool.
I know that they were big into, like, you know, CBD for pets.
Oh.
That was a definite cause that he was pushing and stuff. And I think that helped little bub as the cat got older.
With just the YouTube royalties, it's estimated that he makes about $30,000 a year with it, but he has donated over $200,000 to animal charities. So with all everything,
whoa,
he's donated a lot of money.
I hope it's not his money.
I should say it's because of Lil Bub.
Yeah, Lil Bub. All right,
like merchandise and whatever else.
Well, that's
donations.
Really cool. If he ended up donating a huge portion of that just seems like a good human being and good Lil Bub.
Lil Bub had a movie, and it was back Lil Bub and Friends with a Z. And there's a documentary that came out back in 2013.
I don't remember that at all.
According to this story, it says $700,000 for animal organizations has been raised because of Lil Bub.
All right, Lil Bub.
Nearly $1 million.
Yeah. All right.
Lil Bub, rest in peace.
All right, Lil Bub. Yeah. Peace out. Hope you, go to the Rainbow Bridge. Cats can go there, right? I know dogs always go to the Rainbow Bridge. Can cats go there?
I mean, if they get the Facebook invite.
Oh, they got to get the invite. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, look, if there's a Rainbow Bridge, I don't know why Lil Bub can't go. Lil Bub did good stuff.
Lil Bub's done more than any of us combined.
Yeah, you're right. And I think hopefully some of us can go to the Rainbow Bridge.
Somebody just texted, I'm positive Migs didn't guess churro. I think he even said on a video that it tasted like a regular Oreo cookie. Or back to the Oreo cookie conversation.
Oh, yes, because they did. They identified the mystery flavor. It is indeed churro. Somebody's going to win $50,000, but it looks like it's not going to be us.
So did we find...
I did find the video of you, BJ, and Vicky talking about this mystery flavor.
And the mystery Oreo that they think might be cinnamon crunch. Who was it? The Christy Teigen?
Yep.
Yeah.
Christy Teigen.
She had a couple options. It was cinnamon crunch and one other one. Churros.
All right. Well,
she said French toast or cinnamon toast crunch. Mm. And it's very buttery.
Yeah.
It does taste...
I'm going to go with French toast as well because and they are super maple-y. I'm not quite getting full maple, but you might be right, Vic, because maple syrup does go on French toast.
I'm just going to go out of left field and just say it's horchata.
It tastes like an Oreo cookie to me.
The mystery flavor is Oreo cookie!
Right. I did guess that, and I think I even submitted that as my guess.
You are a genius. And Vicky, what is horchata?
It's horchata. You've never been to a Mexican restaurant and gotten that white drink?
No.
It's rice water, but it's sweet, it's cinnamony, it's really good.
See, look at you. You should have gone for the basic Mexican treat. Instead, you went deep on the Mexican menu. They only went to churro.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, now we got a text that says, it was the Rev who guessed churro. I found the show where you guys talk about it. September 30th, 8 a.m. hour, 18 minutes and 19 seconds into the podcast.
Yep.
What?
I found that audio as well.
So, yeah, Vicky, what did you think it was? Because I think it was French toast.
I think it's horchata.
What does that mean?
Horchata. Like, if you go to, like, a Mexican food place, they have, like, a rice-based drink that's cinnamon and milk. That's kind of what it made me think of.
Horchata.
Horchata.
See, how cool would that be if that was what the flavor was?
See, I was kind of thinking along the same lines, but I was going along with churro.
What?
Oh, it tastes like churros. A warm churro.
Rev is right.
Bam!
Rev was right.
And we're all right when we say that you forget things that we talk about on the air.
That's the exact same conversation.
Yeah. Exact same conversation.
This was the ultimate illustration of what you do.
I will forget this again, I'm sure. Who are you people again?
Wow, Rev, you nailed it.
He did.
I wish I would have submitted an answer.
Yeah,
I never actually did it.
Instead, stupid Steve put regular Oreo as the submission.
Regular Oreo. That's what happens when you don't have a sense of smell, Steve.
Yeah, I don't have a sense. I hate when people say, like, when you're not looking and they put something in your mouth. You know, like my wife will do
that
sometimes. Like food.
You should stab that part of the neighborhood, sir.
She'll be making something and she puts it in my mouth. She's like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm eating. I need to know ahead of time. Like, unless I know what it is, my mind doesn't... I can't figure it out.
Yeah, people don't realize that your lack of smell really does affect your taste.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Rev got it right. And how about our texter? Just was able to figure that out that fast.
Yeah, seriously, thank you, texter.
Who is that texter that has us chronicled like that? I'm a little worried that we could be in trouble.
I think he works for the FBI.
I mean, everything
it's
we
Liam
say.
It's Liam Neeson.
Wow, it's maybe, Liam Neeson.
It might be the same guy who has, over the course of the entirety of our show, has logged all of Steve's wins and losses for Migs.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, cool guy, but...
No, that's very cool. I'm glad someone is logging this for posterity. You know, in 1,000 years, the kids are going to need to know what we brought to the table.
In 1,000 years.
And he'll just crack open his old book with all of the logs of what we did. This was a show that was in Seattle 1,000 years ago. Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, so the mystery Oreo flavor is churro. Rev is the winner.
It's not horchata.
So, you going to buy him breakfast?
No, I never said I would. Yeah, you know what, Rev?
What?
I'm going to give you...
Ooh.
an Oreo donut because you guessed it right.
Nice.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I appreciate that.
You might want to hurry. It's in the kitchen right now waiting for you.
Yeah.
Oh, those donuts already in there?
Yeah, hurry up. Hurry up. Go out there and get it before it's gone.
One of the donuts in there, I thought it was kind of funny, based on what we've been talking about, is an Oreo donut. It's got chunks of Oreo on it.
Yeah. Oh.
Go ahead and get it, Rev. Nice. You don't have to worry about me being competition. I'm trying to stay away from it. Gosh, my shirts are getting tighter. I've got to stop somewhere. So I'm stopping today. No donut for me today. You pick the topic. You guide the show. It's Listeners on the Loose. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Got more of your calls and texts at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
We got a text message that says, Steve, you tell your wife that she needs to hurry the hell up and have that kid already. Got to have your daughter on the same day as me and Ozzy Osbourne. Induce your buddy, the 50-year-old geezer, Ben the Axeman.
And so that
Ben's
is
awesome.
Yeah, so today is the day for Ben's birthday, right? So he's a wannabe today?
Yes.
Yeah, Ozzy's birthday today, too?
Yes, apparently so.
Didn't realize that.
Oh, Ozzy's right on the line. He wanted to give some encouraging words for my wife.
Oh, really?
I just made my mind when I was from the, I was out of my mind for so long.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that's really encouraging, yeah.
I'm Ozzy Osbourne, and I'm the Prince of Darkness.
Well, happy birthday, Ozzy, and happy birthday, Ben.
Who doesn't want to share a birthday with the Prince of Darkness?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she wants to share her birthday, this future baby, with Danny V.
Oh, right.
Or with your daughter, Sarah.
That's true.
Because both are right around the corner as well.
Right around the corner. We've got some time, but I need you to be a little bit later.
Why is that?
Because I got money on it.
Oh, okay.
I got the baby pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for, what was that, $54 that's in this pool?
Yeah. You got to be born at the right time.
All right. I'll tell her that.
Yeah.
She might be listening right now. Babe, hold off.
Hold off, babe.
There we go.
All right, perfect.
Someone says, are you ready for that baby girl? And how's your wife holding up? Yeah. I mean, as ready as we can be. I mean, you don't know until everything happens, but yeah, we're ready.
Well,
we're excited.
I remember my wife was like done. Is your wife at the point where she's done? Like, all right, it's time for you to come out.
Yes, because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. You know, she says I'm hungry all the time, and I'm like, well, so, and I'm tired all the time. I'm like, also, you now know what it's like to be me minus the baby part. Because I'm hungry all the time and I'm tired all the time.
You didn't say that, did you?
Of course I did.
Of course you did. Oh, boy.
Do you expect anything else?
No, I really don't. Well, I was hoping that maybe you would keep some comments to yourself, trying to compare you to anything what someone who's pregnant is going through.
Well, then what would life be if I wasn't being myself?
What would life be if I wasn't me? Yeah. Even I was smart enough to just not try to tell my wife that I was going through any sort of austerities while she was pregnant, especially during this last trimester.
She finds it funny.
Oh, good. Well, if you're humoring her, then good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
So it says, I know you guys talked about the Seahawks game. What a game. But you guys failed to mention the most important part. Why the hell would that announcer call him Decaf Metcalf? LOL.
Decaf Metcalf. That was funny.
I think Rev
found it.
Yeah. Was it Booger that said that?
No, the other guy.
Oh.
As the rookie, Decaf Metcalf, DK Metcalf coughed it up.
Yeah.
It's Joe Tessitore.
Oh, Joe Tessitore. I actually like Joe. A lot of people have been giving this Monday Night Football crew a hard time, but I'm really warming
decaf
up to...
They need to make a coffee.
Decaf Metcalf,
Starbucks or somewhere needs to make that coffee.
That is awesome.
Decaf Metcalf.
You can see how he could make the mistake, but that was hysterical. Decaf Metcalf.
Looking online, the memes are great because it'll show DK Metcalf, who's just jacked, and then the decaf is just like the skinny, tiny, itty-bitty version.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, there's a funny one where it says, Decaf Metcalf and regular Metcalf, and it's both two yoked looking guys, but of course DK is like on another level.
That's for sure. We gotta get Decaf to stop coughing up the ball if we can figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that these are just growing pains as a rookie. I mean, he's so good.
Yeah.
And it's just every once in a while he has those moments.
And it was a blindside shot. I mean, he turned around, but I think that's what you gotta be. You gotta have a swivel and just know and some awareness to know that you're about to get slammed and just hold on to that ball. And have that awareness rather than try to turn and run like he did.
But those are things I think that, you know, are fixable.
Yeah.
I mean, on the whole, that guy is just a stud out there.
No doubt about it. And you're right. It's his rookie season, so mistakes are going to happen. And it was great to see everything that went down last night, and they looked like a really, really good team.
Did you see that when they were talking about Penny, Rashad Penny, who's having the last two games has just been on fire, but they brought up how he's changed, like, you know, his size, his approach to playing the game. And I think one point they even said that, he said in his rookie year he didn't take the NFL as serious as he should have. And I was like, it's the highest level. I mean, I guess when you're like a guy that's being, everyone tells you how awesome you are, you think you just walk in and be awesome. But
yeah, you're number one pick. You're the guy. You're making money. You're the star of college football, not realizing, you're about to go to a whole different level. And I could see somebody going, oh, come on, how different could it be? And then they find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. I'm like, you would think someone would take the NFL seriously. There's a lot of money on the line.
I'm going to tell you this, though. If Rashard Penny now is, if Rashad's really going to be as good as he's been, if this is not just a fluke but a trend, what a 1-2 punch. And that's what they commented last night. Or I remember it was Mitch talking about it. Somebody was talking about all the run football teams. You take a look at all the competitive teams. They all have a great running game. Might have been, who knows? It might have been Scott Van Pelt, whoever the hell I was watching. That, a run football team might be the team that really makes it happen. And what is so funny is that we have the same record as the New England Patriots. And yet, my God, everybody is just piling on how bad the Patriots are. I've never seen a 10-2 team get wrecked as much as the Patriots.
People would love to just hate on the Patriots, including us.
But they're really pointing out to the fact that, Tom Brady is just pedestrian. Even my own son has just said that their offense is not good. And, you've got the Ravens looking like the hottest team in football. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a 10-2 team, which you think that you would be encouraged if you're 10-2, like, oh, we're going to be great. And no one's given the Patriots any chance at all. And the Seahawks are that wild card again, as far as in a person's mind, like, do you want to play this team? Nobody knows what to make of them.
There's a cool story about them. I mean, because you think, okay, you got Penny and Carson. Maybe there's like a little, like, tension, competition. But apparently those two are just, they are tight. Like, they're having a great time together being this 1-2 punch. And there's a awesome story I was reading about, and I think it was in the News Tribune, about at one point during the game last night, Carson got stopped at the goal line. So you're thinking, next play, he'll be able to punch in. Apparently, he gave the signal to the coach to be like, hey, put in Penny instead.
Wow.
Giving him the opportunity to get the touchdown. And there's just a lot of talk about how that was just a huge, like one of those moments where you're like, wow, this team is firing on all cylinders, as far as just like that whole, like, we're a group, we're a team, we're not individually focused. And that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, and as much fun as anybody wants to make fun of, of a mic'd up Russell Wilson, and just basically how he sounded like a positive affirmation day, page a day calendar, he really, I mean, they're all buying into it.
Yeah, and he even says any other running back, this is Penny saying this, would have stayed in, tried to punch it in, but that just shows the guy that he is. I'm a big fan of him. And also, Penny was rocking a Sonics jersey while being interviewed, which I thought was awesome. An old school Kevin Durant, old school, it sucks even saying that, but a rookie Kevin Durant Sonics jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget that he was a Sonic for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, man, it's exciting. It's an exciting time, and I don't think anybody wants to play the Seahawks team. The way this team can figure it out at halftime is what's, I think, the scariest thing about the team. It doesn't matter what you do to them in the first half. They seem to figure you out on both sides of the ball in the second half. And if not for a couple of miscues, I think they would have run away with that. They would have run away with that game yesterday.
So it says, hey, maybe DK's probably has been using his pink binky, which was his superpower, like Superman's cape.
Oh,
you might be right.
Yeah, come on, get back to that, DKF.
Oh, and geez, enough Seahawks talk. This isn't sports talk radio.
Oh, okay, well, fine.
Sorry to make you upset that we're talking about things that we enjoy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but this brings joy to our life, the fact that...
Sorry for upsetting you for the things that we love.
Yeah, we love this. What do you want to do? And by the way, a lot of the people in the city and a lot of people listening to this station do love the Hawks, and we're not getting all nuts and bolts. I just love the fact that, do you remember, we had no idea what to make of this team back in preseason. We didn't know what to expect.
Right, there's optimism, but I don't think there was anyone thinking 10-2 optimism.
No! Possible number one seed, depending on how things go when we play the Rams on Sunday night. Just insane. Just insane to think, and a lot of fun, and man, does good. And then we got the XFL waiting in the wings. Probably can't talk about that either, right?
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Got the hockey team in a couple years.
Yep, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty nice. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide
the show. Sports, this is the perfect place to be.
Yeah, that's right. We used to be. Sorry, Seattle. I know we used to be the worst place for sports, but not anymore. All right, we got 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. What else should we talk about?
So I want to know, hey guys, have you heard the new Stone Temple Pilots song? I love it. What do you guys think? I did listen to it maybe four or five times yesterday, and it is so good. It's super acoustic. It's chill. But man, oh man, they sound great. And it feels like Jeff Gutt, their front man, is finding his voice in that band. You know, that first record, I really enjoyed with him on there, but a lot of people are giving him crap for being so similar to Scott Weiland. And on this one, I mean, it's you're always going to have that Weiland vibe, just I think from the way that they write their songs and the way that his voice is. But I really felt like from this song, it's a very, I think it's an indicator of what this next record is going to be like. And we're going to have a really cool record from Stone Temple Pilots. And speaking of which, tomorrow at 8:20, we're going to be talking with Jeff Gutt and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, really?
To talk about what they're doing with us to raise money for Mary's Place, because they're going to be starting off their acoustic tour in the Northwest. I think Vancouver's the first night, and then the second night will be here in Seattle or in the Snoqualmie Casino. And money from that show will be a portion of it will be sent to Mary's Place.
That's right, man. Tickets go on sale Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, 10 a.m. Yeah, at snocasino.com.
There you go, snocasino.com. That's going to be a heck of a show and a great chance for you to see this band in an intimate setting, really.
And it's the day that the record comes out, February 7th.
And is the record all acoustic or partly?
I believe it's going to have a huge acoustic lean to it. I don't know if the whole thing is, but from what I've been reading, it's predominantly, with drums and bass, it's not like just an acoustic guitar,
yeah,
but it's just got that acoustic vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear what it's going to be.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
And you're a fan. You dig it.
I love the new song. I think it's great.
I'm going to have to go check that out. I keep forgetting I get YouTube Premium now.
Look at you.
I got YouTube Music. I could probably go check it out right now.
YouTube it, bitch.
I got a YouTube it, bitch. I keep forgetting I got it.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I can?
Yes.
Thanks, Rev.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I keep forgetting this new toy that I have. You know, I was going to ask Steve, can you get me a copy? I forgot that. Oh, wait, I got it right in my pocket.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm excited. So listeners on the loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show, 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
So it says, I wish that Russell Wilson would curse, though, sometimes, just to humanize him, even if it's because he just seems way too nice. He was super motivational and mic'd up yesterday. I thought that was good. It was fun to hear. I love mic'd up anything. Yeah. Any player that's mic'd up, I get a kick out of it. But people are giving him a hard time for when they scored the touchdown. Did you hear? See him like he kind of comes running in the background, and people are like, "He looks like he's so out of touch when it comes to dancing."
Oh yeah,
because
he's
just kind of like, "Hey guys," as all the receivers are doing there. What was it? I think New Edition dance.
Yeah, that was so awesome what they were doing. You're right. And Russell's like, okay, I didn't practice any of this.
No,
I don't. He's like the old guy. He's like me dancing at a wedding. Like, oh hey, I'm trying to be like the kids. It's not working.
I'm here. I'm doing it.
Yeah. I know that was funny. I'm happy. Dude, let him be as lame as he wants. Let him be as, like, you know, goofy motivational speaker guy as he wants. And I, you know, honestly, I don't know if he speaks that way the whole time. He knows he was mic'd up.
Yeah.
So I got to be thinking he put it on heavy knowing that he was mic'd up.
I don't know, man. You're in the middle of a game. I think the last thing you're thinking about is the fact that you're mic'd up. I could be wrong. But, I mean, I think that... maybe some people like, you know, Penny Hardaway, is like at one point, yeah. Penny Hardaway, I mean, I wish I'd Penny, yeah. At some point, didn't take the NFL serious. But I think most players do take the NFL serious and aren't going to just be worried about what they're saying while the game is going on.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
A post-game interview, I think you could be, you know, calculated and premeditated. But while the game's going on, you'd be like, oh, crap, I'm mic'd. I can't say what I want to say.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I wonder.
Yeah, I do wonder about that. I mean, there are some guys that probably don't give a blank. We'll have to, you know what, next time we talk to anybody, we'll say, hey, was that Russell? Does he talk like that all the time? Or did he turn it on a little bit more because he was on mic? Or is that just him? You're probably right. It's probably him the whole time.
Do you... Now, I mean, the more you get the vibe of this guy, he's so cool, calm, and collected no matter what. Even when they're down by like 14 or 17 or whatever it may be at any point, even in the beginning when the Vikings scored right away and you're like, oh, crap. Then you see Russell Wilson, it's like nothing phases him. And it almost makes me feel a little less stressed out while watching the games because I'm like, Russ has got this.
I tell you this, I did not feel bad after, you know, the batted ball that turned into an interception. I didn't feel bad going into halftime after they gave up the field goal thinking, my gosh, I can't believe they gave that field goal back. But even still, I don't. I'm like you, Steve. I feel like Russ and Pete and all those guys got it figured out. They're not going to be afraid. Mm-hmm. No fear. I mean, he doesn't look like a guy that has fear. And you can laugh at him for going, no fear, no fear, no fear. But
I think he means it.
He really does. They're not afraid of any hill to climb. They're not afraid of anything at all. And really, the only game this season where it looked like they were outmatched at all, and if they, hey, what, keep your fingers crossed they get a rematch, would be the Ravens game. It's the only game where I felt like, okay, we were outclassed in that game. And we may get a rematch if things go the right way.
Well, at least they have a little, like unlike a lot of teams, you kind of go into a game against the Ravens not knowing what to expect, because it's like you can prepare you want, but they're just on another level. At least they have that little experience to be like, okay, we got an idea of what they're all about.
Well, that's what I love about this. We've played the Saints. We've played the Niners. A lot of teams that we might see in the playoffs, we've played. So we at least have some experience with them, like you said, and including the Ravens. So there's not a lot of mystery. And I got to be, you know, frankly, I would love another shot at the Saints, because we were not at our best, that's for sure. And that was early. Mm-hmm. So I would love another shot at them. All right, here's a big question for you. What do Ryan Castle and a naked guy have in common? Well, you're going to find out at 9:50 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and a naked guy have in common?
Well, that's weird. I was a naked guy earlier today. Doing my bi-monthly grooming.
Oh, really?
Nice.
I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah. The rest of the time, I always have clothes on.
Yeah. The texture says they're both on Steve's shoulders at shows.
Yeah, they are.
What kind of shows?
That's so weird. What kind of show?
The Rock shows.
Could you imagine sitting behind that guy?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh. Standing behind that guy.
Yeah.
Or turning around and seeing that guy.
Yeah, and there's naked guy on top of Steve's shoulders. Nice.
Steve's wife is fed up with finding both in their bed.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Got a cop that was patrolling the parking lot of a Kohl's in North Carolina on Friday when he smelled marijuana coming from a car.
Oh, no.
So he looked in the window and said, there's a 28-year-old guy inside, totally naked. Great.
That's what the devil's lettuce will do to you.
Yeah. Naked guy tried to drive away, but the cop stopped him and arrested him for indecent exposure, resisting arrest, and, of course, marijuana possession, because I guess it ain't legal out there. Oh, he had an outstanding warrant, too. That's a surprise, huh?
Right next to the bag of Doritos.
I don't know why he was naked. Well, I mean, I didn't know smoking pot made
smoking the devil's lettuce, BJ.
Oh, is that what does it?
He was trying on the clothes that he just bought.
Ah, that's it. Ryan Castle, he's the devil's lettuce. He's got a 12-pack coming up.
BJ and Migs, play of the day.
Please welcome to the show our friends, Sarah Colonna and John Ryan.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Hi.
Well, here's Sarah. John, you there, buddy?
I'm here.
There he is.
Nice.
Hey. Are you guys in the same place, or are we doing this sort of like, hey, we're cool in different places thing?
We're actually in the same place for once.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
We're in the same bed.
Oh.
So are we.
Hey.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. If I file for bankruptcy, do I have to appear in court? That makes me nervous.
Going to court is never something that's easy to do. However, when you file bankruptcy, you usually only have to attend one hearing at the courthouse. Of course, I'll be there with you. And when you go to court, it's not before the judge. It's actually with the trustee or the trustee's attorney. One of the things that's critical in a bankruptcy is that you give your attorney and the court all of your information. You list all of your assets and all of your creditors. That's what we're trading for your discharge, is your true and honest disclosure of your assets and liabilities. And so the court hearing is just usually about a 5-minute deal where you show up and reaffirm and swear that all the information you've given the court and your attorney is correct.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.